tip today in association with Slattery's of Pocón, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Good morning, Maha, good pants, and welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today. 1800 938 007 to speak to Emma, and you can text and WhatsApp 083 311 3311. Now, state witness Joseph O'Callaghan hopes that his story will be a warning to parents of the dangers of grooming by gangs. Joseph, you might remember, was the youngest ever Irish person to enter a witness protection program, and he hopes that his harrowing description of being lured into the world of a violent killer as a child in a new podcast will serve as a warning to parents of the dangers of grooming. Now, in 2005, Joseph O'Callaghan's testimony helped to convict two drug-dealing gangsters for murder. He was just 19 at the time. Now, his story was the subject of the best-selling book, The Witness, by Nicola Tallant. But the podcast series now, very powerful indeed, and he speaks over 10 episodes about the trauma that he has endured since first taking part, indeed, in with these gangs. I'm delighted to be joined by Nicola Tallant herself. Nicola, good morning to you.
Morning, Fran. How are you doing?
And nice to talk to you again. Last time we spoke, you had just published your book. Does this take it on from the book, and is there extra in the podcasts, Nicola?
Yeah, I mean, most definitely. I suppose in my business, I'm constantly trying to tell somebody else's story, and there is something lost in that process. As you know, there's nothing more powerful than somebody telling their own story and in their own words, and that's exactly what the podcast is. Joey telling a story in his voice, and he's somebody who I met him first actually in 2012, and he'd returned to Ireland. He had been walking down through the city centre and had been beaten up by two guys who recognised him. At that point, 7 years after the trial in which Joey had given evidence against two murderers, he was basically known as a rat in Dublin, and that's the way it was. There's certain sectors of society when that is the worst sin you could ever commit, you know, to tout or to tell on somebody or whatever, and he was seen as that. And I heard his story at that time. He was battered and bruised, and he was in a really bad way. And I just heard his truth. He's somebody who is telling the truth. He was believed in a court of law. I have believed him. And I think in hearing him in his own words, people can make up their minds for themselves what they feel about it. But he has this sort of rawness to him, and he's able to really describe the kinds of things that happened to him. And he does hope that it will be a warning to people how easily it can happen and to be groomed into a gang.
And from your book, Nicola, I remember that dawning on me, how easily that happened. Could you take us back to him as the 12-year-old who was enticed to go on that milk float, and that was the beginning of it all, wasn't it?
Of course, yes, it was. He had been a child that grew up in Ballymun. His mother and father had separated. There was five in the family. There was alcohol problems. And while he had a very close relationship with his mother, and his mother had been troubled for a period of time but had kind of got herself together and found a new partner, she was working very hard. She'd saved very hard, and she decided she wanted to get her kids out of Ballymun. I mean, you're talking that was back in the 1980s when Ballymun was ravaged with heroin. Mm. There was drug users everywhere. It was horrendous. And she felt that if she could get them out of there, they'd have a better chance in life. So she saved and she bought this house in Blanchardstown, right? Which was a growing suburb at the time. Mm. But in what she hoped to gain in one way, she actually lost in another way, because while Ballymun was all that, there was still a very strong sense of community there. And the mothers used to look after one another and look out for one another's kids.
Yes.
And there was this sort of neighbourhood thing. In Blanchardstown, it was a new area, new suburb, and she didn't really know anyone. So when Joey started going on this milk round, he got a job, this milk driver, truck fella, you know, they had those floats back in the day, knocked on the door to see if he could get a new customer with this new family who'd moved in. And Joey sort of cheekily asked him, could he have a job? You know, the way the kids used to sit on the back of the milk float, they'd go around, collect the money, drop the bottles off, that kind of thing. And he got this job. Now, I think because she didn't have those neighbours and those other women looking out, nobody warned her about Brian Kenny.
Yes.
Brian Kenny was the milkman, but he was also dealing heroin.
And he was very charming, and he was very believable, if I remember rightly from the book, Nicola.
Yes, he was. He was very charming and, you know, disarming in a way. He was. He had convinced Joey's mother to let him go on the float. She was reluctant in the beginning because he was kind of so young, but he convinced her that this would keep him out of trouble, basically. And then slowly, as the time went on, he had him, gave him a sort of job working at night, delivering the bottles. She was again reluctant about that because he was so low, but he convinced her that, you know, he was going to help Joey get on the right path. He was going to show him what it was to earn an honest living. You know, he was going to keep him away from other kids in the area who might have been heading towards drug use and that kind of thing. But Brian Kenny sort of portrayed himself as a bit of a hero and a father figure, because Joey had, his father had been left behind in Ballymun. He was an alcoholic, the man, and would never have been able to keep up,
of course,
the relationship unless Joey did the work. And as a child at that age, he wasn't really going to.
But as it turned out then, Brian Kenny, in fact, was a drug dealer, and the milk float was a cover for that. And Joey got, in fact, was sexually assaulted as well.
All those things. And I mean, the first night, he really didn't know there was anything going on. He just thought this was a milk round, until one night Kenny shoved a package of little pebbles into his hand and told him to put it in the door of this house. Now, funny enough, he remarks that that particular house was a guy living in the house who was a really chronic drug user. And Joey said he did often wonder why he was getting milk. It didn't seem to add up for him, you know, but as a child, he didn't realise what it was. So he realised that he was holding heroin, while he was very used to what heroin did to people, because he'd seen them in the towers in Ballymun walking around like zombies. He'd known family friends who had become addicted. He never actually considered or realised what it felt like, what it looked like. So that moment, I think, is the moment. They always say that if you can remember the moment you grew up, then there's trauma in your life.
Okay. And there's
certain people, you know, grow up slowly, or they emerge from childhood slowly. But I think for him, that was it. And he put it through the letterbox. And of course, then all the guilt that went with it. He'd become a drug dealer. And Kenny, you know, drew him further and further into his world.
And what a world that was. It was one of violence and death and just awfulness, you know.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it is the thing that is so unique, really, about Joey O'Callaghan and the book, The Witness, and then the podcast, is that you very rarely get somebody who comes out of that world, who emerges from it, and who's so articulate and so able to describe what it's like. Like, I mean, we're interested in that world as a people. There's no doubt about it. We find it just horrifying, frightening, all those things. But to get a true sense of what it's like, Joey's one of the very few people I've met, and I've been more than 20 years at this job. I've met lots of people who have gone into, I've got involved in organised crime in that gangland world or whatever. But there's just so few of them who are able to describe the nuances and the control, the power, all those, you know, things that are there that hold it together. And so he's, you know, he's a very articulate young man. I mean, he's 36 now. He's that's young. I'm older than I'm going to say that.
Oh, it's young for me as well, I assure you, Nicola. Yes.
So we'll be always young. But, yeah, you know, he's an incredibly, he gives you a kind of a ringside seat into that world. Like something I've never seen before. And, you know, all the emotions that he's feeling and how he's trying to get out and why he feels he can't get out. And it's all a very good lesson, really, for everybody.
Of course. And is he on that mission now, Nicola? Is that the way it is? He wants to open up to people the possibility of youngsters being groomed in the way that he was.
Well, you know, when we did the book, and it took years, like, I mean, it was a labour of love more than anything else. But, and I had started the book writing it as myself because I ignorantly thought that if I wrote it, people might be interested in it. And halfway through it, I realised, hang on a second, I have no place here. Mm. And I ripped it up and started again and did it in Joey's words.
Mm.
And when it went out, there was a sense of nervousness from myself and from him. I think he particularly worried how it would be, how people would react to it. He was so used to, for so long, elements of the community and people he'd known growing up, etc., thinking he was the rat, that he was this, you know. But actually, when people read the book, he got nothing but support.
Mm.
And that was something for him, and that empowered him, I think, because it was people realising, well, hang on a second, we can totally understand why you... So obviously he got out because a murder was committed and he was... Brian Kenny tried to implicate him in that murder, tried to get him to hide the gun, etc. And he escaped and he went to the guards and he gave evidence in court, evidence which convicted Brian Kenny and his co-accused, Thomas Hinchin, of murder. And they are serving a life sentence for that. So from that point of view, he was this, you know, this rat. Mm. He had gone with the police. He had given them information against somebody. And I think when people read the book, they realised, totally understood why he had done that. And that it was the right thing to do. Mm. So that empowered him. And then we decided to do the podcast, which is a new medium still here in storytelling. Like podcasting is becoming hugely popular, hugely popular. In a way, it's a kind of a... I think it's going to be very, very important in the future of journalism. People are on the move. I think we take things like in audio now like never before, and we sort of, we're used to choosing what we watch on the television when we want to watch it, and I think the podcasting is the same. So it is very popular already, podcasting.
Of course, and there's more time as well for detail, Nicola.
That's it,
You know, for a story to be allowed to unfold, of course.
There is, and there's, look, there's different, you know, it's different. I like to read. I also like to listen to stuff. And, you know, some people like to read a newspaper. Some people like to take their news on the radio all day. I do all of those.
Mm.
But I think that you get a connection with audio, with sound, don't you? You get that sort of personal connection.
Mm.
So
yes.
When you're listening to Joey in his own words, you feel like you're sitting in a room with him listening to his story.
And his accent, of course, adds that whole other dynamic to this, doesn't it? You know, it makes it so real as well. With all your experience with the Sunday World and investigations and all of that, Nicola, it's moved outside of Dublin, this now. I mean, there's grooming going on in our towns now, you know?
Well, this is it, and... You see a report there, I mean, they're coming fast and furious from Europe and all the rest of it about cocaine. Like, what has happened in the last 5 to 8 years of cocaine has been unbelievable.
Mm.
It has been pushed into Europe and onwards into Ireland and across every county line in Ireland, into every small town, into every rural part of the country, into every city outside Dublin. It is there. And it's available. And the availability of it has been like a marketing tool for the drug dealers, because people are out. It's not something that, you know, they have to consider whether they're going to buy a bit of cocaine or whatever. It's there. It's available. It is in the pub they're in. And that, like any consumer product, the more its availability, the more people are going to use it to buy it, etc. And it's a massive problem. And you've had all sorts, you've had this kind of perfect storm nearly for cocaine. You've had all sorts of political issues in Colombia. I won't go into it because it's quite complex. Mm. But basically, they have been pushing out more and more cocaine than ever before. Mm. And
it's cheaper now and more accessible, as you say.
Cheaper, purer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you have, into Europe, you've had the use of these encrypted phones we're hearing a lot of by the drug gangs. So they have actually been able to carry on their business like normal. They're not even trying to, nothing is difficult for them. They are doing business, organising shipments, organising transport like normal. Now, the police have eventually got to grips with this encrypted technology, and they are moving in very fast now and breaking down these communications.
Yes, I think the FBI might have been involved with some of that, if what I read
last
over the weekend
is
correct. But young kids of that age group, are they being dragged in the local towns as well into these networks, do you think, Nicola?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Absolutely, undoubtedly. And what happens is they will seek out the vulnerable child, the child who maybe is coming from a home where there could be addiction problems, you know, there could be some sort of domestic violence, that child that isn't properly parented in a way. And they're seeing them and they're seeing them as being useful for them. They will transport the drugs, they will store them, they will sell them for them, they'll collect the money, whatever. They're vulnerable. And they will feel a sense of belonging, a child like
in
a gang.
Of course.
They will feel that. They'll get that, but they don't have at home. And very quickly, they will be drawn in. There's no adult there to pull them back out. And, I mean, they're just easy pickings for these drug dealers.
It's very frightening indeed. How can we access the podcast? How is that done, Nicola?
So, it's available everywhere you get your podcast. Mm-hmm. If people listen to podcasts, I have an iPhone, so I have Apple Podcast, have an app on the phone.
Yeah.
You can get it on Spotify, which lots of people listen to their music on. And it's on Acast, is another app that you can put on your phone to get podcasts. There's loads of stuff on all these. There's loads of podcasts out there. It's a very interesting collection of everything. So when people are walking or whatever they do, out for a cycle, stick them in your ears. But yeah, it's available there. And we sold out the book. So we have done a second print run and it's back in the shops now.
Well, it's a marvellous read. An absolutely now a frightening read, I must say, but a marvellous read indeed. What are you working on at the moment, Nicola? Any other book?
I am actually. I have a book coming out in September. And that will be, we maybe talk about it when it comes out. That's about the rise of the Irish Mafia and their infiltration into boxing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Which again is very topical, of course, at the moment.
Very much so.
Well.
And and I've kind of written that with a little bit of myself in it. Sort of journey along the way of discovering this. So just a little bit different, you know.
Very good indeed. So, are you not scared of your wits of dealing with these people and talking about them and talking to them, Nicola?
No, but maybe that makes me odd. I don't know. I think that it's very important work, to be honest with you. I really feel that we have to talk about it and we have to understand about it and we have to be aware. I mean, I don't think that we can sit back and because it's not on our doorstep,
yes.
You know, it can come to your doorstep at any time. And also, you know, I don't think we can just walk away from these communities that are ravaged by drugs and by these drug dealers.
Well, of course, the shadow of Veronica Guerin is always there, I presume, for you.
Yeah, look, you just have to work safely and as safely as I possibly can. And I do work. I mean, I try not to certainly put myself in a position of danger.
Mm.
I have very good contacts. I have very good support from the guards. If there's ever any problem, you know, I've always been very well looked after. So, you know, that's the way things are. And you just, if there is a problem, I just deal with it, each problem, you know, as an individual thing and get through them. But look, by and large, this is a massive industry. This is a part of the world economy.
Mm.
And I'm nothing to them. I'm just an annoyance, you know. These guys are, you know, operating in multi-million, billions. And, you know, they don't care about a small-time journalist like me, by and large, you know.
Well, it's most interesting. I'm fascinated by it all. I try and read as much as I can about it. But it's as if that this is happening at some other level, if you know what I mean, Nicola. I find it hard to think it's part of our world, but it is.
Well, you see, this is it exactly. That we do have this attitude to it, that it's not happening. It's not in our lives. It's not. And you get the likes of a Joey O'Callaghan out of it and you hear the story and you cannot walk away from that.
Yeah.
Because that's a child that just didn't have maybe the same opportunities to start out with in life that maybe our kids or we had. And I think just as responsible human beings living in a world together, we have to try and help the vulnerable. And we have to try and put things in place that will identify these children and just help them through. Because you're only trying to help them through a small period of their lives. You're just trying to get them through the teenage years the same way you would your own kids.
Well, Nicola, it's fascinating as always talking to you. And thank you very much indeed for your time today. Thank you and good morning to you. And that's Nicola Tallant there, who is investigations editor with the Sunday World and also best-selling author as well of that book. It's called The Witness, by the way. A few people looking to know the name of the book, The Witness. And Joseph O'Callaghan's podcast available on whatever platform you get your podcasts on. 1800-938-007.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.